Welcome back to Wellness and Dentistry. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Kyle Stanley. I'm a dentist, a tech entrepreneur, a speaker, and a researcher. And I am joined by my co-host with the mo-host, whatever that means, Dr. Martin Mendelson, who is a disabled dentist, a coach, a speaker, and a thought leader. And together, we've helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness and dentistry. And I think we're just having way too much fun today. Martin, what are we talking about today?
Yes, well, we're having and we'll have even more fun. So what we're going to talk about today is the art and science of listening. And listening is not all the same, and we're going to go into the three types. But why is this important? The reason why it's important is these types of listening allow you to be more present in the situation, and they also allow the other party to really feel that they're heard, so we can bring the conversation forward and bring the relationship forward. So listening is a really, really critical skill, and some people do it really well, some people don't. And we're going to talk about methodologies today.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Last time we mentioned some of the soft skills that not a lot of dentists focus on. I think this is one of them. This is something that when you talk to a dentist and you say, "What have you been working on the last 5 years?" They don't say, "Well, my listening, I've really learned how to listen and be an engaged listener." It's just something that doesn't go on our radar because we're so busy learning clinical stuff. And if we've gone past learning clinical things and we're looking into other soft skills, it usually goes to leadership, which I know has to do with listening. It usually goes to communication, which I know has to do with listening. But we don't separate listening out. And I know I didn't either, but this is something that I've learned a little bit from you.
I know, my coaching program, I mean, I started, wow, almost 10 years ago now. And when I went in, this is one of the first things they taught us, outside of some of the mindset stuff that I've continued to talk about today. It's such a critical skill, and there's another layer to it that we can get to maybe at a different time, but its bases is a skill in three parts. And so it's so much fun to be able to teach these skills, and it's so much fun to get people to, shall we say, flex their muscles and try it in the beginning, because like any skill, without practice, there will never be mastery, right? And so I've also found, and see if you agree with me here, that almost every dentist has heard the term open-ended question, which is a response, not a listening tool. Yet, by the same token, it's not something that they really apply in earnest. And kind of we all have our own spiels and our own way of saying something, which works for the most part. But then when we interact with somebody challenging, then the wheels fall off the bus. Fair? What do you think?
Yeah, no, for sure. I know that in a lot of our scripts that we give people in our live courses and our online courses, a lot of them end with open-ended questions, which is one of the things I learned from you. I know that also in our live courses in Lightside Live, like the one we're giving in a few months in Orange County, you talk about crucial conversations, and one aspect of the crucial conversation is the act of listening and hearing their truth.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And the truth is, the three types we're going to talk about today is it's kind of interesting. I hadn't thought about this before, but of course it has to do with focus and receiving language through the ears. But really what we're talking about is how you're responding that then gets categorized in three different types of listening. And so it's how you're processing between your ears and then what you're spitting out between your lips that really creates the magic.
Yeah, one thing that I've heard you say, and I'm sure this is one of the types of listening that we're going to talk about or somewhere in there. I've heard you say this in our live courses, is you say, "What I heard you say was XYZ." And you kind of throw back to them to verify what you are interpreting is what they are trying to get out of their being, right?
That 100% yes, and that kind of falls to the third part, or the third type, excuse me, the most impactful type, intuitive, which we'll talk about in terms
So
of
what are the three types, first of all, and then we'll go into each one.
So the three types are excuse me, subjective, objective, and intuitive. Okay,
Okay.
subjective, objective, and intuitive. And the subjective is when you're seeing things through a filter and you're not really listening, and then you respond back through the frame of your own experience. So I'll give a dental example in a minute, but this happens to me all the time too. Let's say somebody comes back and they just went on a trip to Europe and they tell you about Paris and blah, 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 blah. And you're like, oh my gosh, I love Paris. We've had such a good time there. That would be an example of seeing through your filter.
Okay.
A dental example, and it's funny, I'm teaching that this week. We're recording this the week of the California Dental Association meeting. I'm teaching this this week, 2 days from now. In a dental example, it could be a patient that presents, they sit in the chair and they say something like, you know, I'm really nervous for this crown prep today. And you look at them and you respond through the frame of your own filter, through the frame of your own experience. And you go, oh, you know what? This really isn't a big deal. Dr. Jones does this all day long. I even had a crown done by Dr. Jones. He or she is amazing. You're going to be fine. So when I teach that kind of thing, I'll turn around to the people in the audience. I'll ask you right now, if that was the response you got, how would that make you feel?
I think it's a little belittling. I don't think that it recognized that I was nervous about it.
Yep.
And just because you do it all the time doesn't mean I've done it all the time. This may be my first try.
Yes, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. And it also shuts down communication moving forward in the next minutes, hours, days, or the life of the relationship because we don't feel heard.
Yes.
So it's kind of the worst kind of listening when we're talking about a professional environment in particular, or a coaching or a training environment, but I don't like that word. And we do this all the time casually, and there's nothing wrong with doing it. I'm not saying it's bad. However, it's a skill that if we choose to go in that direction in a professional environment, it's going to stifle communication, period.
Is this the same type of listening that I feel like sometimes I do when I'm just waiting for my turn to talk?
Yeah.
To give my own opinion?
Correct. Bingo.
Okay.
Bingo. And when you, thank you for bringing that up, because when you're in that space, how many times can you think of where you're waiting to get in what it is you'd like to say? And then you realize, oh, shoot, what did they just say?
Totally. Totally.
Because you lose your train of thought. So
I mean, sometimes that happens on this podcast because I'm trying to write something down to make sure that I don't forget to say it.
Yeah.
And I'm doing two things at once. And then I'm not really listening to you. And I mean, that happens right now. I mean, right now I'm writing something down, but I'm still trying to listen.
So,
it's so meta to me listening while talking about listening on a podcast.
Exactly. But you know, if you want to think of subjective, it's looking at what is said through your own filter, through your own life experience. One could argue, although they didn't go so far as to teach it this way, as I recall my program, but it's a bit of a judgmental place if you think about it, because you are seeing it through your lens and then you're responding through your lens, which is in by itself a judgment. So
it sounds like a negative way of listening, but the first example that you gave with talking about Paris didn't sound that negative.
Correct. Yeah. And so I do it all the time socially. I try not to do it professionally.
I see. That's the difference.
Yeah.
But this is an acceptable way of listening socially.
Yeah. Well, okay. And you know, you and I are good friends and, you know, we text all the time. We talk all the time. I'm not watching what I say with you. Like there'll be a lot of times where it's subjective, right?
Yeah.
And that's fine. What we're talking about here is the professional context to make others feel comfortable, to make sure that we understand where they're coming from, to make sure we can open the door to two-way communication so that when there's a problem, they feel comfortable asking the question. One could argue we're kind of setting the stage to psychological safety, feeling open and comfortable to be able to bring problems to your attention. One of my first mentors in business said, Martin, always be appreciative of the customer that brings something to your attention, even if they're complaining or yelling. His name was Phil Moyer. He owned America's Dental Labs. Wonderful human being. And I looked at him and I said, why? Because he emphasized the yelling part. He goes, because the only reason why they're saying something is because they think you're going to do something about it. He goes, be careful of the people who don't say anything. And I thought, that's a really good life lesson.
Yeah, we've had that at my practice before where I go to do an exam and the patient's very nice. And they say, you know, Dr. Stanley, there's a little like spider web up in the corner.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, it may be great. Like, it may be good if you guys could just get that. And I'm like, thank you so much, because
exactly.
I'm never laying down in that chair, right? You know,
exactly.
Twice a year, maybe I am. But
yeah.
It may go 6 months before we clean that area. And
yep.
Every other patient that's been there for hygiene has seen that and thought, oh,
100%.
I thought this place was really clean and nice and high end and whatever.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now,
exactly.
In that example, they're saying it in a nice way and they're not yelling,
yeah.
which makes it easier for me to respond in a
true,
more
true,
fruitful manner.
True. Yeah. So that's subjective. The second is objective. Now, the objective one is kind of the polar opposite. So subjective, you're focused on you. Objective, you are so focused on the other party that it's better, but you may miss completely what their intention was. So
okay.
To go with the same example, here's how that might sound. You know, patient sits in the chair. I'm really nervous about this crown procedure. Oh, well, you may be really, really nervous, but you made it here. Congratulations. This is going to be great.
I'm hearing toxic positivity with that.
Fair. In this
hearing,
example. Yeah.
You acknowledge
correct.
What I said.
Correct.
But I didn't feel like you acknowledged my feelings.
Correct. And you hit the nail on the head. So basically the way the structure of it, as I was taught, is that it's better than subjective, but it doesn't get to the heart of the matter. Literally, quote unquote, from my manual that I was just looking at again the other day. So yeah, it is better. You will feel, shall we say, more heard. But again, it doesn't get to the heart of the matter. And people might be afraid to actually say why it is that they're concerned about being there for that crown prep appointment, because you
after
haven't gotten
that
to the heart of the matter.
Response.
Yeah. Yeah. What I've also found, and I realize we haven't gotten to the third one yet, we'll do that in a minute. What I find in practicing these skills, people can really identify the two extremes easiest. They can very easily identify subjective, making it all about you. They can very easily identify the intuitive, which we'll go into in a minute. For some reason, it's more of a challenge for them to really hang their hat on objective, which is kind of interesting. But this example I've come to as one I believe can really communicate best, or communicate effectively rather, the difference between subjective and objective. So it's like, hey, you're here. That's great. Congrats. Well, okay, so what? You know,
can you give an example from both of those that may be a team example?
Sure. What are you thinking? Like somebody coming in late, or somebody asking a question, or somebody?
Yeah, let's do the example that you gave in one of our other podcasts, which was, you know, John left his instruments in the sink when they're supposed to be at least rinsed and put in a bag.
Yeah.
Not even in the sterilizer, but just rinse, put it in a bag, and then we'll deal with it later.
So in terms of this, because you're talking about coming up upon a situation, in my head, where my head's going is you're hearing about this in a gossipy way from another team member about that, shall we say, third party. Yeah.
Okay.
We should write down, do something on gossip. That would be amazing. I have a whole framework on gossip.
Future podcast on gossip.
So somebody comes to you and says, you know, Dr. Mendelsohn, listen, I just saw that, you know, Susie or Johnny just left a tray of instruments in the sterilization room, right? So subjective would be, well, you know, that really stinks. Whenever I come upon instruments that are left, I just deal with it because we're all one team, right?
Okay.
That would be subjective, seeing it through the lens of my own perspective. And I'm not even remotely getting to the heart of the matter relative to why is this individual coming to me, right? Objective would be something like, oh, so it sounds like, you know, that really bothered you. Congrats for cleaning it up and bringing it to my attention.
So, am I correct in saying that both the subjective and the objective don't get to the heart of the matter?
Bingo.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm
Yep.
making notes here.
Yep. And also with subjective, I also want to note the act of putting yourself in their shoes, the act of making it all about you is actually, there's a term for that. It's called countertransference. So you're just basically putting yourself in their shoes and you're making it about you because you're seeing yourself in the situation and not
I see.
connecting with the individual.
And how you would do it.
Yep. Yep,
It's
yep, yep.
interesting because I think there's times when I would do that or when I've heard others do that, and it can be looked at as positive in the sense of, okay, so let me just tell you where I'm coming from. Someone's coming to me with a problem. I've had a lot of experience with that problem, and I tell them how I would handle it. I think if I told someone that little framework, someone came to me with a problem, I have a lot of experience with that problem, I told them how I would handle it, that would be seen as a positive.
It can be depending on the situation. And what I would say to you is, without a little bit more digging on the front end, we don't know whether that's what they're looking for.
Oh, that's a good point.
So I was talking
So,
more
okay,
like,
so I'm giving them my experience.
yeah.
Not necessarily because that's what they want.
Correct. 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 So, ironically enough, you just defined the difference between coaching and mentoring. Coaching has helped somebody to navigate through their thoughts to find their own solution. Mentoring is sharing with someone your experience because you've been there, done that, to help them potentially more easily navigate through a given situation. So,
Yeah, that's so true. I think coming back to parenting, this is not coming back because we haven't talked about it, but I'm thinking in my head of coming back to parenting is that many times as parents, we solve the problem for our children. And this doesn't really create resilient children. It creates children that are very dependent on their parents.
Yeah,
And I know
absolutely.
when we were talking with a therapist with about our parenting skills, one of the things that she had told us was, you know, we were talking about my son, when my son comes to you and he's going through this hard time, ask him how he would solve this problem. Don't say, well, these are things we can do and we can do this and we can do this. Say, how do you think you can solve this problem? It sounds like the same thing. Like we hopefully can do this with kids. That I would hope that we can do this with adults too.
And even if you know you're either one of your, well, your daughter's too young at this point, but even if your son didn't know the answer, then that becomes the teachable moment to help navigate through. And from what I'm hearing, what we're trying to elicit that critical thinking skill right up front, rather than kind of being helpless and throwing up our hands and going, I don't know what to do, right?
Yeah.
So critical life skill. So that's
Okay, so
awesome.
we talked about subjective listening, which is through your own filter or life experience, still not getting to the heart of the matter. We talked about objective listening, where you're so focused on the other party that you may miss their intention and you still don't get to the heart of the matter. Remind me what the third one is.
The third one is intuitive, or as I jokingly say, the Mac Daddy of listening. It's the most important form of listening. And in coaching circles, when you deploy this and the client looks at you and goes, oh my gosh, that's totally it. You really get me. We call that an intuitive hit. Okay. So before I even go through the example, I want people to understand that the act of attempting to be intuitive is what is some of the most important elements of this third type. In other words, whether you hit the nail on the head or not, the attempt to be intuitive will make the other party feel so much more deeply heard that it will bring you forward very significantly. So, how might this sound? Going back to the same example, patient goes in the chair, says, I'm really concerned about this crown prep appointment. Oh, sounds like you have some concerns around this that may be due from previous experience or experiences that you've heard before. It may have been really challenging for you to even present for this appointment today. What are you most concerned about? Wow, what a difference. Like, if you heard that versus, oh, no big deal, Dr. Jones is amazing, they did a crown on me, How would you feel if you heard that, Kyle?
Yeah. So was there a framework that you had in there? Because I noticed you ended with an open-ended
I did.
question.
I did.
You started by almost restating what they said. There was a middle point that I can't remember
Yeah.
now, but
There is. So it's interesting. There's two concepts that we can talk to at this point. There's acknowledging and validating. Okay. Acknowledging is what you've noticed and pointed out, which is the paraphrasing or parroting. Okay. That's number one. The validating part is recognizing that people have emotions around any given topic or most topics. And we are validating the emotion, not is it right or wrong? So a classic validation catchphrase would be, it makes sense you feel that way.
I
That would
like
be
that.
a validating catchphrase. So really what I'm doing in essence is acknowledging what they say, validating what they say. One could argue, well, aren't you putting yourself in their shoes to think about how they might be feeling about it? Yes, but it's not through the frame of my experience. It's through the frame of what we believe they may be feeling based on what they said, the situation, the variables, et cetera. And so,
Let's expand a little bit on that specific topic, okay, which is being in their shoes. Because in the general public, I think that's perceived, we say that walk a mile in someone else's shoes before you judge them. It's perceived as being very positive. And I think you're saying it both in a positive and a negative way. And so how do you walk a mile in someone's shoes without doing it in a negative way.
Well, let me ask you a clarifying question. So, in the response that I gave, how was that on the negativity scale for you? Or where was that?
I don't think it was
Oh,
negative.
okay.
But
So help me
I think you
understand
just
then.
said something that was like, you are living in their shoes, but remember, from an objective listening standpoint, if you're so focused on living in their shoes, then you miss the intention. So I guess it's kind of a clarifying question, but what is the nuance there?
The nuance is connecting the dots. The nuance is the fact that, so this is how my brain is processing, I guess, quickly. They brought up the fact that they're concerned. I'm assuming that there's some type of history there. Now, I don't know if you noticed in my response, I said previous experience or heard about. It's got to be one of the two. And then,
Which could be media. It
yeah, oh,
could be
100%.
your parents were afraid of the dentist. You heard at school that you're supposed to be afraid of the dentist, even though you never were in the past.
Or all root canals are bad, or all root canals are painful, that kind of thing. So it's really taking the facts of the situation, adding a humanistic element to it, and saying, okay, given the fact that the person said they were concerned, given the fact that the person has some type of knowledge, either factual or experiential, and the fact that the person is, in this case, here, then therefore, what are the emotions that connect those pieces? What are the feelings? So it could be fear, frustration. It could be being resolute to show up and get it done. So there may be even you could even argue some pride there. So it's connecting the dots emotionally to the facts that are as part of the situation is the way I would say it.
When you're connecting the dots emotionally, we talked about you have paraphrasing, validating, and the open-ended question. Where does that go in those three categories?
To me, that's kind of the bridge between all of them because the acknowledging is, so it sounds like being here for this appointment is bringing up some concerns for you. Anyone having a dental procedure, that would be a natural feeling. What in your past from experience or from knowledge is causing this concern for you today? So it kind of ends up becoming the bridge. Notice That was purposefully a different way, a different answer than the first one, but they both got to the same place.
Yeah, it was like a theme between the three. Okay, and so that theme, I'm just writing some of this down. Theme between one to three is connecting the dots with their emotion. Right. Can we do a team example
Yeah,
on this?
absolutely. Absolutely.
I guess
So,
let's answer that same question that I asked before. I come to
yeah,
you and say, Dr.
that's what I was
Mendelson,
thinking.
I saw that Steve or Lisa left their cassette in the sink and it's just filled with water, and there's a cotton roll floating in there, and I thought we were supposed to put them in the sterilizer before we left.
Exactly. So it might go something like this. It's like, in that kind of situation, I think this is kind of the mark of my own personality. I would say, thank you very much for bringing this to my attention. Because why would you not, right? So thank you very much for bringing this to my attention. It sounds like there was a reason that so and so left this stuff behind. What are your concerns other than the obvious that these need to be processed around the fact that Susie or Johnny left these behind? And so that person might say, well, they're not supposed to do that, blah, 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 blah. I would then counter with, yeah, absolutely. Makes sense. It could be very frustrating to come into the sterilization room and find such, let's call it what it is, a mess, right? What is stopping you from bringing this to Susie directly? Then you might find out that, well, I did last week. And he or she yelled at me, So by following these protocols and flowing with the open-ended question, you're not being evasive, far from it. You're acknowledging what they said, you're validating what they said. And if you listen to what I said relative to anybody would feel that way that comes into the sterilization room looking like a mess. So the reality here is that the situation is causing an emotional reaction. What I, as the leader, am doing is attempting to tease out what's behind the emotional reaction and what type of communication do we need to have between team members so that we can move the things forward, and maybe not have this happen again. I mean, for all we know, the reason why Susie or Johnny left it that way is because they got an emergency phone call because their kid's sick at school. I mean, who knows? I mean, it happens.
This is so powerful, and it's easy. There's a framework to follow. I feel like if we ever made Lightside Live a 3-day course, I would love to teach this one because we
Good
already
idea.
have it so jam-packed for 2 days. But I think it's so cool, and we could give great examples of this. And one thing I wanted to say was, I noticed that you as the boss in this acting gig that we just did, you basically just ask questions. And it reminds me that going back to all the many jobs I've had over the years, from working at a smoothie place in high school to working at a skate shop to working at the IT department in my college to being an oral surgery assistant to all my jobs in dentistry with tech companies and speaking and whatever. The best bosses and CEOs that I've dealt with, leaders, don't give a lot of answers. They ask a lot of questions. If they're giving an answer, it comes after question after question after question.
That's very, very true. And to state what, or to go into what some people may be thinking, no, it's not evasive at all. Because when you're doing it in an effective way, the other party feels heard. Like going back to this example, well, it makes total sense. You walk into the sterilization room, it's a mess. Well, who wouldn't be upset by that? So you're acknowledging what's going on. But it's not that you're necessarily agreeing or disagreeing. I mean, granted, I just slipped. I said, who wouldn't be upset? So that is a bit of a judgment. See, I'm not perfect either. So in a perfect world, it would be, it would make sense that you would be upset coming into the sterilization room like that.
Yes.
Right. And, you know, you kind of brought up something else that made my brain tick, which is when we get caught up into the other person's bag, as I was taught, you know, into their baggage, you know, when we get sucked into their baggage, there's a cost that we end up having to pay. And particularly as leaders within dental practices or laboratories, et cetera, when we get too emotionally caught up, there's a price that we have to pay. And half the time, some of the time, whatever the percentage is, what we thought about to begin with wasn't actually the case. So we ended up wasting all this emotional energy over an assumption before we asked enough questions to actually find out what the real answer is.
I feel like I struggled with that as a leader in my practice. Came from a good place, but I wanted to be, you know, I wanted to be friends with people.
Yeah.
I wanted to be on good terms with people. And I think it overall negatively impacted me because then I had like rose-colored glasses, let's say, yeah, for certain things, and, you know, black-colored glasses, yeah, for others. I don't think it allowed me to be a very objective boss.
Yeah. And
I don't say objective in the bad way of this type of listening.
And you bring up one of the hallmark points of the book, Crucial Conversations, with this false truth that you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't say something and keep the relationship. The reality is if you do it properly, yeah, you can, because you're coming from a specific framework that starts with the facts, makes people feel safe, tells your own story, and then invites dialogue through the open-ended question. So in almost every situation, there is the opportunity to have a dialogue that's open, that's not going to tank the relationship, if both parties are truly invested in the relationship. Because let's call it what it is. Not everybody's invested in the relationship. Not everybody wants to make it work. And who wants to work with those people anyway? So easy for us to say, but that's just a truism of life. You can deploy all of the methodologies, frameworks, and skills, but there are some people in the world that just don't want to play nice in the sandbox. And that's just what it is. And we need to be okay with that. So instead of focusing, this is one of the big life lessons I've continue each day to embrace, instead of engaging with the, you know, 5 to 10% of negative Nellies, let's focus on the 85 to 90 to 95% of the people who want to engage.
Yeah. And on that topic, it kind of brings back to this idea that, you know, I talk about a lot, you've talked about a lot too, is dismissing patients.
Yeah.
You know, if this is a patient you want to keep,
yeah,
then we need to make sure that we have good conversation and we're you know, not overreacting and not saying something extremely based off of our emotions. We're living in the space between the stimulus and the response. However, if this is someone that you would like to dismiss and that you don't plan on keeping this relationship,
yeah,
then we dismiss the patient.
Yep. 100%. 100%. Yep. So I hope that, you know, the summary of these three types, the subjective, make it all about you, seeing through your own lens, the objective, making all about them, but not connecting the dots. And then intuitive, which is connecting the dots, thinking about, paraphrasing back, validating, but not agreeing with emotions, and kind of using the emotional connectedness of the facts to intuit how they may be feeling to then bring the relationship forward. So three different types of listening.
Yeah, no, it's super, super important. I love the framework. It's very simple. It reminds me of Crucial Conversations, which we teach in our courses. And I feel like Crucial Conversations is kind of the same thing, but you're starting the conversation. And intuitive listening is someone comes to you with a crucial conversation.
Yeah.
And you're the one reacting, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like the mirror image of it.
Yeah. What I've discovered is Crucial Conversations is fantastic. What I discovered, having been teaching this now for almost 10 years, is that people can get stuck without the listening and open-ended question skill because they can master the crucial conversation. But then when the other party actually answers and now you're in this repartee back and forth, well, now what do you do? And so I never teach one without the other typically. I'll go into the three types of listening and then crucial conversations so that people have those other skills to lean on over time. But look, this whole concept that I talk about, dental dualism, where we give all this credence to their clinical and the practice management, not enough to the stuff between our ears. This is going to take time. This is not necessarily natural to you. That is perfectly fine. If we give it the grace and the patience that it deserves, it can really change the face of your relationships, lower your stress, and make you feel more empowered to be able to embrace whatever life throws at you. So
Yeah, you
it's
bring up a good point in that we took 4 years to learn how to take a tooth out. We took 4 years to learn how to prep a crown. You're not going to learn this in a day.
Nope.
You're not going to learn this listening to our podcast. It may be a start and you may explore it more. You may take courses, you may read books, you may watch YouTube videos or Instagram stuff. But just like anything, the more you practice, the better you get at it. I remember when we first taught Lightside Live a few years ago, and you were talking about crucial conversations, and I was even struggling with it. And you were correcting me, said, "Well, don't say but, make sure you say and." And how you said this was a little bit, so and so. And I've gotten better over time. I'm not at the level that you're at because you've been doing it longer than I have. You've practiced more. And so I encourage the dental professionals listening to this that all of these soft skills are just like your clinical skills. You get better over time. You find the little nuances. You find when to use them, when not to use them. I can relate it back to implants. I mean, there was a time when I learned immediate implant placement and I learned it, or I used it only in this area and not in this area. And then I did something wrong, or I didn't do enough, or I did too much. And I eventually molded it into where it worked for me almost every day. And it's the same type of thing with these soft skills. It's time, it's effort, sometimes it's money, investing in courses or books, coaches, and give yourself a little bit of grace.
Amen. Amen. Lovely place to kind of think about just this in total. Give yourself some grace.
That's right.
Love
Well,
it.
really cool discussion today on listening. I definitely learned a lot. So thanks, Martin, for your expertise in this. And if you're listening to this and you think that you have a colleague that could benefit from what we're talking about, send it to them. If you've been listening to our podcast, maybe this is your first time, or maybe you've been listening to every episode, we would love to have a review from you. If you do a review, take a screenshot, post it, tag me and Martin on Instagram. We'd love to see it, or you can DM us. And if you'd like to be with us for a few days, go to Wellness and Dentistry. You can join our Lightside Live program that we have coming up in a few months. This specific one is going to be in Orange County, depending on when you're listening to this. And if you're interested in Martin's coaching programs or my complication compliance method or my Lightside Academy, you can find all of that in our links on Wellness and Dentistry. We are so thankful for you listening to this podcast. And we hope to see you on the next one. Thanks, Martin.
Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Bye, everyone.